This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Well, markets sorely. They didn't like the Trump tariffs.
Mm-hmm.
And now the court, which is apparently running the country. Honestly, should we just even not have the next presidential election? We'll just have the courts run the country? Because they know best.
I get your point, but I'm not a fan of that concept.
Yeah, me either. Well, Trump told no tariffs by three judicial dictators, one of whom he appointed. Federal court on Wednesday, it was a three-judge panel, ruled that President Trump does not have the authority under economic emergency legislation to impose sweeping global tariffs. So here's what's gone. The Mexican tariffs, the Chinese tariffs, the Canadian tariffs, and also those 10% across the board tariffs. Now, he's still able to keep some of his tariffs on. The auto tariffs he can still do, they say. The steel tariffs are still a thumbs up because they come, you know, from another law, basically. Aluminum tariffs, they're unaffected by the ruling. But everything else, nope, gone. Can't do it. Too bad. Chinese will just have to kill another 250,000 of us. No biggie. By the way, that's how many they've killed with just fentanyl since 2017. But, you know, whatever. I'm sure some new Americans will be along soon since other judges will just say Trump can't enforce immigration law either. So, you know, it's very frustrating because what this tells the people that Trump is literally smack in the middle of negotiations with. Yeah, don't bother. Liberal judicial dictators will be along to tell the president what to do. Just hold strong and continue doing things to America that aren't fair. White House Deputy Chief of Staff Stephen Miller said the judicial coup is out of control. Senator Kenny was on Fox News this morning saying, look, Congress delegated this authority to Trump. He didn't just steal it. So we'll see, but this is absolutely huge. And what this was, Lee, was Democrat attorneys general suing Trump, not Republicans, but Democrats, to stop this. You know what I think? As soon as I saw the lawsuit, this is what I think. I think they're afraid this will work. I think they're afraid the economy will boom. I think they're terrified that the GDP will grow.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to have to run against it. And so they want to knock Trump's legs out from underneath him to keep him from getting a victory.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, but
I'm just going to say that you know, between the economy and immigration, those are the two most, for Democrat voters, deadly sins that they're going to have to atone for. And, you know, so anything that will impede Trump with regard to the economy or immigration, you know, they're going to have to fight it.
And this could be a long fight because it says the court does not read IEEPA, the congressional law that gave Trump the ability to do the tariffs, to confer such unbounded authority and sets aside challenged tariffs imposed thereunder. So China, this is a massive win for China. All across China, people going back to work and, you know, getting ready to steal some more intellectual property and doing all of the things that they do. What it doesn't say, so they say Trump has gone too far, he's overstepped his authority, but the problem with the ruling as of yet, and this is the problem we're going to end up with more lawsuits, it doesn't say what his authority actually is because he does have some. So, in other words, it's not saying he can't, it stopped the tariffs from now, yes, but it doesn't say he has no authority either. It just says he overstepped it.
I just want to know where these folks were when the Biden administration and the auto pen were overstepping their executive authority.
You know, I'm glad you brought that up because you know what people don't realize? Trump put a set of tariffs on China in the first administration.
Mm-hmm.
Where are the lawsuits on that?
Which the Biden administration kept.
They kept them. And this as Trump is on track right now to generate $255 billion worth of tariff revenue in the first year. He was on track anyway. I tweeted that yesterday. That's the kind of money right there, because for the most part, these people are not raising prices or not raising prices significantly. That may change, but they're not. They're not passing the costs along, which is what we saw with Trump's last tariffs, mm-hmm. which is why I wasn't too worried about that part right. of it. So for the most part, this is also a beginning to be an answer for, you know, our debt, our deficit as well. But definitely ripped away. We can't seem to get anything done in the world because we're having a big family fight. We can't figure out if Iran is our ally or our enemy. If the Democrats are funding them and we're putting sanctions on them to crush their economy. I mean, we can't figure it out as a country.
Well,
we can't come together. We can't work together. It's what's best for the Democrat Party versus what's best for America. We used to be able to have the same enemies, the same friends, yeah. the same goals. We wanted America to succeed. We might not agree on how to do it, but we wanted America to succeed. That's gone. Democrats do not want America to succeed, and this is because they think it'll hurt them politically, and this is why we cannot get anything done in the world anymore.
The current Democrat Party is opposed to the way this country was founded.
Yeah, they want to demolish it.
Yes. I mean, that is the avowed goal of many of the elected officials who are, you know, leading the party right now. Just ask Bernie and AOC.
You know, my son asked me this yesterday. We were on a walk. He said, why is, you know, I'm kind of getting down on America a little bit. Why is America the best country in the world? And he's like, I said, you can't think of any, you know, specific reasons. He said, no. And I told him, I said, look, we're in the middle of a messy fight. We're going to win some battles. We're going to lose some battles. Right. We're going to have good days. We're going to have bad days. Overall, we're heading in a good direction because we weren't even fighting before.
Yeah, exactly.
We're just in decline.
Good, excellent point.
And I told him about the Jeb Bush fundraiser in the Hamptons for all Democrat donors, where he said he was the best one to manage the decline. There was no other option than decline. I said, that's gone. That's out the door. So we've turned a corner. But he asked me that. He said, what makes America special? I said two things that is nowhere else in the world. Number one, First Amendment, freedom of religion and freedom of speech. Right. Number two, backstopped by guns, with the guns with Second Amendment. I said, nobody else on earth has that. That is stronger than law. And I said, any country that does have that, has that level of freedom, you're going to see incredible prosperity. I don't care where you try it. And we were talking about, we looked up how long has America been around? 249 years. You look at what we've accomplished in that small amount of time compared to other societies. And by the end of the walk, he was in a good mood. Because he loves his country.
Those two points that you mentioned. Now, listen, I will admit, I have never traveled internationally. But from what I have read, been able to understand, people that I've interacted with, those two points, as you said, are essential.
Yes.
To the success and the betterment of this country, and is what makes us better, safer, and more free than any place else in the world. I mean, you look at what's going on in Europe now. What's going on in Africa, Asia, whatever. Anybody who has traveled will tell you, you don't have any idea how the rest of the world lives. The things that people in this country get away with on a daily basis would have you imprisoned on a regular basis. I mean,
there are kiosks in Scotland where you can go to turn in your family and friends for speech crimes that occur verbally in your own home.
Right.
There's a woman in England who just went to prison. She's going to be there for over a year because she was mad about migration. And she was talking about a particular building that migrants were in. She said, I just hope it burns down. Well, is that appropriate? No. Is that Christian? No. Is that something we should say? No. Is that something we should be allowed to say? Oh, heck yes.
Yeah.
And people do. It's constant. I mean, you go through any kind of immigration threat, you're going to see comments like that. Is anything burning the ground? No, it's not. She's going to prison. You've got all of this going on around the world. By the way, thank you, Marco Rubio. Did you see what he just did?
About the Chinese student visas?
Oh, well, them, yeah. And we're going to get back into that. But no, he is revoking the visas for anyone, anywhere in the world. They say it's going to be thousands of people. You cannot travel to America. You'll be put on a banned list if you censor Americans. And he specifically said,
good.
Yeah, he specifically said, any of these bureaucrats in the EU with the Digital Services Act. You know, when Elon Musk interviewed the head of the opposition party in Germany, who, by the way, now is polling at number one, that part, and they're not allowed to be seen or heard. They can't be on social media. You can't speak of them. They put, just for that interview on X, 200 censors watched it. And they let him know that they were watching it and they were going to fine him. Well, now every one of those censors, you're not coming to America. You're done, bud. No visa. You're a persona non grata. And this is going to stretch all over the world. There's a Brazilian judge that has essentially been a dictator with the help of the FBI. I don't know what they're doing down there, but they are. That's been persecuting the populist party there. Anybody who is doing that in a censorship kind of way is going to lose their visa. They can't come to America. So good. You know what that is? That is, here's the thing. You're thinking, well, maybe they don't care if they you know, travel. No, but it's a form of humiliation. And it should be. And this is the first time we have stood up to international speech censorship, period. He is the first person to do it. Obviously, he's working for Trump, so it's Trump and J.D. Vance too, right? But here's the thing about that. When you look at what was going on before, okay, it truly was scary. Not one word from the Democrats, Joe Biden, Kamala Harris, or Mike Johnson, or John Thune, or Mitch McConnell, not one bloody word when the UK said, we have a right to extradite Americans to the UK for trial for things that they say online. Everybody involved there was not only fine, Mike Johnson funded the Global Engagement Center, which operates outside of America to censor Americans inside America for the things they say on social media, and was working on those prosecutions with the British. Funded it. GOP leadership. It was only targeted at us, by the way, not Democrats. So this is, and Elon Musk and Twitter and X Lee bent them to our will and forced Mike to defund that, or it'd still be up and not operating. By the way, did you know the Global Engagement Center, this came out last week, they found an internal report for one of their subcontractors bragging they had accomplished their goal of limiting and blunting Trump's message online. That's what we're paying for as taxpayers. I'm sorry, that's what Mike Johnson was funding. He's either dumb or evil. Some days I can't figure out which. But I really go back and forth. But anyway, that's our leadership. So this represents, there's good news here. This is represents the first concrete action America has taken to say no. By the way, these visa restrictions don't just apply to those who censor us, but their families too. Good. No Disney vacation. Go somewhere else.
There you go.
Yeah. So
no trip to Dollywood.
Yeah. And I hope this is just the beginning. We need other punishments too. We need to find ways to make sure these people cannot operate. I think we should go banking as well. Do they have any bank transactions that cross our wires? Banned. We need to treat them like terrorists because they are. That's how we need to treat them. Let's apply everything we do to terrorists to people who censor and their families. You want to know why? Because look what just happened to Donald Trump and Barron and Melania and Trump Jr. They were debanked. That's the model. So we need to fight that. And I was thrilled to see Rubio do that yesterday. I cheered. I was so excited. Finally, something, some pushback.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Americans starting to think things have gotten a little strange, as often happens when regular, normal Americans walk through those revolving doors of the FBI. They don't come out the same again. They come out creepy. A lot of Americans wondering what is going on in there, because it doesn't seem like much. Kash Patel, of course, the head of the FBI, doing another interview, promising more stuff. This is going to be interesting. January 6th, FBI leaders under oath told Congress there were no FBI assets on the ground. There were no FBI agents on the ground. There was nothing like that. No, it was all organic. We know the truth. Somebody planned it. If you've ever worked on the Hill, you know it was planned. You ever worked on the Hill? I've had this happen to me when I worked on the Hill. The security is so tight there, and it should be, for the congressional offices. I worked there 3 summers. 2 times I forgot my lanyard in that time. If you've ever traveled in D.C., you know what a pain that is. just having to use the metro, having to get, you know, go from stop to stop, change trains is very hard to get around in DC. You forget your lanyard. And you're like, oh, come on, please just call the congresswoman's office. And so I'd said, you know, I didn't have it to get in. Please call the congresswoman's office. They will tell you I am me and to let me through the security. They don't care. Got to go all the way home and get the thing. So I'd have to call in and say, I'm just going to be late. Happened to me twice. That's the security level that there is. And God help you if you forget anything that's remotely like a weapon in your purse. Can't use it. So, you know. But yet, so for anybody who's ever worked on the Hill to see those Capitol Police officers stand there with the doors at their backs, holding them open and waving people in, going, come on, come on in. No, it doesn't matter who you are. Come on, join us. Oh, you don't have a lanyard? Fine. No, that'll be good. It was a setup. Somebody unlocked those doors. They're impossible to break down. In fact, we have video of it. It was used in court. Nobody knows who it is because you only see the back of them. But they went and unlocked the doors, pushed them open. It was a setup. A lot of people think the FBI was involved. Were they? Brett Baer asked now FBI Director Cash Patel that question yesterday. Here's his interesting answer.
More importantly, people have had questions about January 6th and whether or not there were FBI sources, not agents, sources on the ground during January 6th. And I told you I would get you the definitive answer to that. And we have. And we are in the process, again, of working with our partners to divulge that information. And it is coming. And I will tell you this. The answer to that question will surprise and shock people because of what past FBI leaders have said about it.
Former FBI Director Chris Wray eventually admitted to Congress there were 26 FBI confidential human sources in and around the Capitol January 6th, but not actual agents. Can you say that's true? Are there more than that? What you're learning from that?
I can say that that is definitely a piece of the truth. Why it took a ton of time for and questioning in Congress for the director to get that point is what I'm trying to eliminate from the FBI. If Congress asks you a question under oath, whether or not there were sources in around January 6th at the Capitol, you as the director of the FBI need to know that and not deflect and give a DC answer. You have to be prepared for that. And that's the answer we're giving. That's the answer Chris Wray should have given.
And eventually everybody's going to know the whole picture.
Yeah, because the American people deserve that. And look, no one's more frustrated than me. Remember, I was chief of staff of the Department of Defense on January 6th. We said that we were ready, and the president had previously authorized the National Guard to be there days in advance. I spent 2 years, a small fortune, grand juries, to testify to the truth. And what happens now, years later? We were right. Bowser and Pelosi rejected that offer.
Going to be interesting to see what they have. Meanwhile, you know, this is really interesting from Cash Patel too. James Comey, who, remember, was the FBI director, would have to know when he tweets 8647, which is clearly a call for Trump to be murdered. He has to know the hours the FBI is going to have to spend afterward. He did it on purpose. And that's especially evil. Cash Patel calls former director Comey out on that.
Do you know how many copycats we've had to investigate as a result of that beachside venture from the former director?
Is that right?
Do you know how many agents I've had to take offline from chasing down child sex predators, fentanyl traffickers, terrorists, because everywhere across this country, people are popping up on social media and think that a threat to the life of the president of the United States is a joke and they can do it because he did it? That's what I'm having to deal with every single day. And that's what I'm having to pull my agents and analysts off because he thought it was funny to go out there and make a political statement.
Okay, you're Gen Z, producer Tim, right?
No,
you're not. Okay.
I am a millennial.
Oh, all right. Well, you can still qualify to have a theory on what's going on here because it gets weirder every year.
Right.
Tinder is in trouble.
Okay.
Tinder is in trouble. You know, that's the hookup act. App, right? It's been very popular with, you know, my generation, millennials, not so much with Gen Z, because sex isn't as popular with Gen Z. And I mean, not by a little. The new CEO of Tinder is revamping the app's hookup reputation because it's struggling to gain traction among Gen Zers between the ages of 18 and 28. You know, you'd think prime ages for, you know.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, sex is, you know, the one thing they're most confused about.
Well, a parent or something. I don't know. He says this generation doesn't have as much sex.
Yeah, it's kind of strange, isn't it?
So they're retooling it for more of an emphasis on togetherness, which is, by the way, not even relationships. They're not, it's not even that they're looking necessarily for long-term relationships. They're lonely and they want to hang out, but not necessarily have sex. So they're focusing on casual meetups, including double dating. Okay. In the time I've been doing this, almost 20 years, mm-hmm. when I started out, right, everybody was doing everybody. It was terribly immoral. And, you know, I thought surely the Lord was going to return any moment, right?
Right, right.
At the rate we were going.
Yeah.
So we'd be talking about immorality and gross, very heterosexual things in movies.
Yeah. Yeah, things like American Pie and things
Yeah, I mean, that kind of stuff. Come on, oh, come on, we got to pull it together. Right. Now I'm like, can we get a little more overt heterosexuality into this?
It's like we've gone from one end of the spectrum to the other.
It is. And do you remember the study that we had? It's been like, I don't know, about 18 months ago. And I started covering this. Movie makers are doing something that the Christian Coalition tried to get them to do for years. They're taking the sex out of movies because Gen Z doesn't want to see it.
Right.
They're offended by it.
Yeah. Didn't they have a big thing about HBO back then about having, you know, nudity on there? Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, I hate to admit this, it's very embarrassing, but I am a sucker for romantic movies and rom-coms.
Okay.
This is like chocolate to me. I love it. I see all of them. I've seen all of them. I've seen over 100 of them. I mean, you know, my daughter and I are watching them now. And I am amazed at when I watch these. Most of them now, of course, the couple always gets together, right?
Of course.
But all they do is kiss.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm not kidding. The Christian Coalition, wherever they are today, is like, oh, thank God. You know, but everybody, what the heck?
They praising Jesus.
They are. But you know, here's the thing. I'm not sure this is good. I thought I'd be thrilled by this, but I just, I'm not sure. And when you look at this, Gen Z has significantly, by the time they're 28, fewer sexual partners than millennials or Gen X. My generation.
That doesn't surprise me because they're just so, I don't like.
Is it the chemicals in the food? Is that it?
It might be.
I mean, they all affect your hormones. I swear, I think it's got to be that because I mean, hormones are raging things, you know? Like here's the thing, okay? We pick movies, we do family, you know, but one of you came up with this years ago on the, on our text line, you know, family movie night. So we've been doing that forever as a family. We do it almost every weekend. We'll watch something together, right?
Right.
So my husband picked Rad. I'd never seen it before.
Oh, you ever seen Rad? No, I've never seen that.
Oh, okay. Well, it's very 1980s, right?
Yeah, yeah.
The overt heterosexuality in that is unbelievable. Tight clothes, you know, a little bit of nipples on, stuff like that, right? Like all of that, it's just in your face, because people wanted that. They wanted to see heterosexual things.
Yeah, they wanted that, you know. Strong.
It was shocking. Yeah. The kids were shocked. They were like, wow, there's like a sexual reference in every other scene.
Yeah, man. 80s movies are.
I know. I wouldn't have let them watch it if I had any idea. If I watched a movie about kids, how bad could it be? You don't see anything like that anymore. It's all been stripped.
Hey, I will say this, though. 80s movies had great movies. So
they did. We're loving a lot of it. And it was actually a really good movie. My husband knew there was some dirty parts, but he was like, well, that's okay.
Yeah, just close your eyes.
Yeah, just because we do. You know,
that's what we do. Yeah.
Yeah. But back to, I mean, Tinder can't make it anymore because people don't, you know how powerful that drive used to be, but not in Gen Z, man.
Yeah.
No, they just want to talk.
As the kids would say today, they're cooked.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And here's the thing. Highest ever 18 to 28 year olds, 38% say they have not had a sexual partner at all in the last year.
Wait,
highest ever record. 18 to 28.
18 to 28? Mm-hmm. Really?
38% highest it has ever been. You know what it was for my generation? I looked it up.
That'd have been like, what, like 16?
18%.
Yeah.
So they are not getting it done, you know?
Yeah.
But, I'm very torn. Don't misunderstand. I'm not saying everybody should be, you know, running around bonking everyone else. I'm thrilled they're not. You know, I want people to be moral, but I want people to want to do it, but not do it.
Yeah, it's too much anxiety for them.
Is that what it is?
It must be, yeah.
What is it?
It has to be. Like, I mean, I'm not knocking anybody that suffers from anxiety, but that seems to be the excuse a lot of times for Gen Z. Just saying.
Okay. I get the anxiety thing. We all have it, right? It's part of life. But I mean, you know, humans have been around for 500, in our current form, 500,000 years. You know what I'm saying? Like.
Yeah. A plus B equals C.
Texter writes, my kids are college aged. No lie, I suspect my generation, class of 86, was worse about sex stuff. No, I do too.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to have to agree with that.
Texter writes, we're only supposed to have one sexual partner for life. No, no. I said, no, I get what you're saying. But understand, I want people to have a drive. You know, they don't have a drive. Something's wrong.
Yeah. Yeah. Nobody's saying that everybody should just be out, you know, gallivanting.
Texter writes, it's because blank is free and available everywhere. That's why. In other words, I guess if you can get something easily all over the place all the time, it's not valuable to you.
That's a good point, too. Yeah, because it's so easy to get.
Well, yeah, but that drive in men, I don't think that would have stopped for previous generations. There's something going on here.
Want to see and touch it, man.
Tim. Anyway. What am I going to do with you? Okay. So Texter writes, hey, Tira, it's a cycle. Look at how it was in the 20s. Everyone was crazy over sex everywhere. Then look at the 50s when everybody was so proper. Every few generations that changes. So I understand this is normal. Look over history. This is not new. It's a cycle. I hope so. And I hope it comes around right around the time I want to have a whole lot of grandkids. You know what I'm saying? So... anyway, yeah, Texter writes, just from my point of view, it's no wonder that males don't want to have sex. The men, Generation Z, just seem to be too effeminate and soft and unmanly. I guess they consider manly men toxic, but the effeminate men are highly undesirable to a heterosexual female. There are a lot more of those, and I really do think it's chemicals in the food. I really think, because almost everything is a sex hormone disruptor, from the fluoride to the dyes that color Skittles. Oh, by the way, did you hear this, producer Tim? We beat Skittles.
We beat Skittles.
We did. Mars is taking all of the titanium dioxide poison out of our food. Isn't that great?
Yeah, that's wonderful.
We're going to get to eat the unpoisoned food that they make for Europe instead.
That's about time.
Thank you, RFK. Maybe can get back to knocking some boots and eating some Skittles. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah, you can't appreciate the overt sexuality that used to be part of our culture until you go back and watch 1980s, 1990s movies. It's just threaded throughout. And it's not that everybody's necessarily having sex. It's that everything is so sexual. Again, my husband, it was his turn to choose the movie over the weekend, and he chose Rad. If you haven't watched it, it's an 80s flick. There's just this overt sexuality that hangs over the whole thing the whole time. And that is gone from modern movies. You don't realize how it's been stripped out. They don't want it. This generation rejects it, which is wild. In fact, the only kind of sexuality really allowed in movies anymore is gay sexuality. Anyway, speaking of sexuality, I warned that South Carolina would become a sanctuary state. It was going to happen fast. Why? Poor Donald Trump begged Republican governors, all 26 of them, to help him. He begged them to deputize their law enforcement officers, their state-level officers, as federal immigration authorities so they can get around the ACLU and the courts and deport them themselves. It dramatically increases the force. In the first week, they had full compliance with it in Florida. They rounded up 1,100. 1 week. So what are other governors doing? Ron DeSantis took Trump up immediately after his call for that in February. Others saying, screw you, including our own governor. And I warned this is going to make South Carolina into a de facto sanctuary state. And it's happening. Here's the problem in Florida. If you're an illegal immigrant, you got a craving for some late night ice cream. You want to get in your car and go get it from the grocery store? Too much risk. You might end up in Honduras or Guatemala, or wherever the hell you came from. Yeah, they pull you. Guess what? You're done. Get to go home to get your toothbrush? Nope. Because now that police officer who didn't have jurisdiction to detain you before, you know what he does? Loads you in his car and takes you right to the ICE facility. And bada boom, bada bing, out the door you go. What does it mean? If you're an illegal, you can't even drive in Florida anymore, which means you can't work. Well, you know what is happening? They're fleeing to a sanctuary state. Here. Wait till you hear this. Now, you know, anyway, I can at any moment, Henry McMaster could stop pretending that over 500 of you haven't called him, haven't emailed him, haven't asked him to do this, and copy Ron DeSantis. Answer Trump's call and federally deputize all of our law enforcement agents. Or this is going to continue happening. I'll tell you what it was coming up next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.